Okay, the mitzvah Shin Ayin Ches. The mitzvah is Shin Ayin Ches, and mitzvahs Birchas Kohanim B'chol Yom. The mitzvah of the Kohanim to give a bracha to the Jewish people every day. You have it? Mitzvah Shin Ayin Ches. It's a mitzvah 7 days a week. For 365 days a year.
You know what page it's on?
I'll tell you the page. 1 second. In the old Minchas Chinuch, it's on page. Looks like in the middle of the Sefer. Page. Yud Tes 37. Thank you. Okay, mitzvah Shinai and Ches. Everyone have it?
Yeah.
Okay, Yitzhak, if you don't mind, if you can help David find it. Okay?
No,
the Chinuch says, Shenestavu ha-Kohanim, Sheyivolchu Yisrael b'chol yom. The Kohanim have an obligation, have a mitzvah, to give a blessing to the Jewish people every day. Shenema kol sevorcho es bnei Yisrael emolehem. So this is what you should give a bracha to the Jewish people, emolehem. You should say to them. And there's an instruction that the Torah is giving an instruction to the Kohanim that they have an obligation to give a bracha to the Jewish people. Now, the Chinuch explains that Hashem wants us to get a bracha, to get a blessing. And the people that will be the vehicle that the blessing will come through them will be the people who are serving Hashem constantly. The Kohanim, the way he illustrates the Kohanim, the Ulei Machshava is attached in his service of Hashem. And their nefesh is attached to the fear of Hashem the whole day. And in their merit, in the merit of such great people, that those great people ask Hashem, have beseeched. They've been the shliach. They've been the messenger to request a blessing. Hashem will listen. Hashem will listen because, if these are holy people. The Kohanim are holy people. The time for the Beis HaMikdash, how were they spending their time? Were they spending their time at the Jet game, watching the Jets, or they were spending their time...
But they didn't have Jets, but if they had done that, they would have wasted hours.
Right, or more, most probably. But these were holy people. They spent their time, what were they focused? Their time was focused on the fear of Hashem. They were serving in the Beis HaMikdash. These were leaders. These were the Kohanim were leaders. And therefore... They're at a very high level, and therefore, as a result of that, Hashem would want to bestow the blessing upon the people because look who represented the people. You're such a great person. Represent. Ask these people who are the holy people. Ask God that a blessing should be bestowed upon the people, and in their merit, Hashem will go ahead and give the blessing. But that's like a similar idea when you go to a rabbi. You go to a chacham to give, instead of someone is chas v'shalom not well, you go to the chacham, to the wise man, and he will pray. What's the idea? He goes to pray, the chacham, the wise man, in his merit, for all his great things, Hashem hopefully will listen to his prayers. Yes?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
This might be jumping the gun a little bit, but first of all, today, a Kohen, is anybody really who by inheritance is a Kohen, by Yerusha is a Kohen,
right.
Number one. And there's also the Zalach and Dervas Kohanim. I think that if someone's in Chal Shabbat, he's allowed to do it, as long as he doesn't violate certain Kohanim, specifically the Kohanim.
Okay, so the Rambam talks about the six things that prevent, the Chinuch brings down the six things that prevent the Kohen from doing Brechas Kohanim.
Right.
One of them is Aveira. So we would have to look in the Rambam in Perek Tesvav, Halacha Aleph, he will discuss exactly what...
But even without that Rambam, know that people say, you don't have to be a great person to be a Kohanim.
Right, right. An average person, even if a person wasn't on a high level, spiritual level, any person born of a Kohen is a Kohen, is allowed to do their Pesach Kohanim. But the idea, the commonplace was that the Kohanim were the people who were, these are people spending their whole day in life. They did not go ahead and go out to spending their time in Wall Street. Hold the respect to Wall Street, but you know, people spending time on Wall Street are not able to focus as much time on their spiritual pursuits. These are people, how did they make a living? They made a living, they were supported by the people. In a certain way, they were like the Kolo people. They got the Trumas, they got the Trumas Maestros, they got the Chavdalet Matnas Kuna, they got the many different gifts that Hashem gave them to support themselves, and therefore they were able to be free to serve in the Beit HaMikdash and to do other services in them.
Fine, but this isn't true anymore. There are now doctors and lawyers.
That's true. That is very true.
It was established.
The Torah was given, that was the case. And really for 830 years, you had the first Beis HaMikdash, last temple, less than 410 years, second temple, less than 420 years. You had all those halachos, applied. And even before that, When they set up the Mishkan, when the Mishkan was set up by Moshe in the Midbar, again, the Kohanim already went to service already. They already kicked in way back. So for thousands, you could have 10 years or something.
So the Hachamim of Birkas Kohanim was that these special people, that the people who did Birkas Kohanim, were special people when we had the Beis HaMikdash. So that was the Hachamim.
Because that's the suggestion that the Chinuch suggests, yeah. See, for the reason for the mitzvah. Now, there could be a million and one reasons for the mitzvah. And, you know, when Hashem gives a mitzvah, it's not tied to one reason. Well, if the Torah tells you the reason, the Torah gives you the reason. But here, the Torah didn't give you the reason why the Kohanim specifically should be the ones to give the blessing. The Chinuch suggests that's the reason. Meaning, it could be among many other reasons besides that. But that's, to him, one of the reasons that why these were the people that were chosen to be the vehicles. Now, if I could, one second. So let's continue. Again, in Mitzvah Shinai in Ches. So the Minchas Chinuch explains, if you look at the Minchas Chinuch, the beginning of the mitzvah, right? Mitzvah Saseh, first he says, if you get the mitzvah of the Kohanim to give a bracha to the Bnei Yisrael. So he says, Shinisnavo HaKohanim Shivorcho. There's a commandment that the Kohanim should give the bracha. Dinim Elu, these halachos, Muvorim B'Rambam Perek Yudalid Tezvov Mitzvila. If you want to find it, you have to look at the Rambam, Perek Yudalid, Perek Tezvov, from Hilchos Tefila. If you want to find out, you want to know where the halachas are. B'Tum Shulchan Aruch, you want to know where it is in Shulchan Aruch, go to Shulchan Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Chav Ches, which is the beginning of the second chelik of the Mishnah Berurah. You'll find the halachas of Birchas Kohanim. That's a Simen Kuf Chav Ches.
Wasn't the
Yes.
So we have to try to learn how to mix it from himself. He didn't have to go to the Rambam.
The Rambam came before the Chinuch. Rambam preceded the Chinuch, and the Chinuch counts the mitzvahs based on the Rambam's counting. Now, if you look at the introduction to the Sefer HaChinuch, he will say, you look at my Sefer, don't think that I'm such a great scholar. Most of the things I've gotten is from the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rif. These are the people that he collected his halachas and stuff from. Okay. But the Minchas Chinuch is showing you where you could find out, do your research on this mitzvah. And he says, V'harbi Yericho Achronim. Now, Achronim went into detail about this mitzvah a lot. U'mashe noig bizmaneinu, u'mavur ba'achronim ein l'harach. A mitzvah that's applicable today, and it's very well written about in the Achronim. I don't need to talk about much because a lot has been written about it. I'm here to say something that people maybe have not spoken about too much. With all that, I'm going to write something. I'm going to a little bit about this mitzvah. Number one, the mitzvah say in the Kohanim is to give a bracha to the Jewish people every day. It's clear in the Rambam and the Mechaber that the b'shachris of a musaf of an ilachayofim. The obligation is shachris, musaf, ni'ila, let's say on Yom Kippur, chayofim. Or those are the days that they were chayovim to go ahead and do Birchas Kohan. V'chulo, right, and another times. V'chulo, no, and v'chulo here means etc. Right? Shachas, Musaf, Uvenila, because we'll see about Mincha. There's going to be times that the Kohanim would also do Birchas Kohan by Mincha. As well. So that's where the Lechulu is gonna come in. The Nira, the Hamitzvah he b'chol yom. The mitzvah is, as you notice, let's say on a fast day, we say, what do we say? Alakeinu v'alakeinu v'aseinu v'alakeinu v'abrocham shoshes v'atorah. So really, the chazan gets up and says the lashon of Birchas Kohanim. Right? Generally, by mincha, we don't do does the chazan say alakeinu v'alakeinu v'aseinu v'alakeinu v'abrocham by a regular mincha? No. But a fast day, yes. Why? Because a regular mincha, they never did Birchas Kohanim by a regular mincha. Why not? Because we're afraid that maybe they're drunk. Maybe they drank some wine. And therefore, that's why Birchas Kohanim is never generally done by mincha. Because it's by Musaf, but Ashkenazim they do it by Musaf, and by the Sfan they do it by Shachas and by Musaf. But by a mincha, on an everyday, a regular day mincha, they can't do it, because the Chacham were afraid that you might have drank wine, and if you drink wine, if someone who's drunk is not allowed to do, even if he drank a reviyas of wine, he's not allowed to go ahead and do Brechas Kohanim. Therefore, they won't do it by mincha. However, mincha of a fast day, technically, you're allowed to do Brechas Kohanim mincha of a fast day. And there were certain fast days that they did, that they recited Brechas Kohanim, a certain fast day they did not recite Birchas Kohanim. It depended, we'll see, maybe we should take out the Rambam. The Rambam explains that. One second. I just want to clarify something over here. The Rambam says like this. Shachris, Musaf, in Ne'ilah, when you have that special extra prayer of Ne'ilah, the Kohanim would do Birchas Kohanim. But Mincha, like we said, there was no Birchas Kohanim. Because Mincha people already ate, and maybe they drank wine. And a shikur is forbidden to do Birchas Kohanim. Then the Rambam continues. Even a day of a tainis, they don't do Birchas Kohanim by mincha because of a gezeira of a tainis because of every other mincha. Meaning to say, if you're going to go ahead and do Birchas Kohanim on a tainis mincha,
a fast day.
Let's say there's a fast day. Let's say it's Tzom Gedalia. Okay, if you're going to go ahead and you can do Birchas Kohanim. Okay, but he's going to explain which fast day is he referring to that we won't do Birchas Kohanim. He says that's only a fast day that you do, that you daven Mincha and Ne'ilah, like Yom Kippur. But a tainus that there's no Ne'ilah, let's say Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av and Shiva Asa B'Tamis, there's no Ne'ilah. Since Tfilas Mincha is close to Shkia Sachama, since it's close to sunset, right? But when do they usually daven mincha? They used to daven on a fast day close to sunset. So therefore, it appears like ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is always, when we daven ne'ilah? Right before sunset. So therefore, since it appears like ne'ilah, so you're not going to make a mistake. It doesn't look like mincha of every day. Since it doesn't look like mincha of every day, so therefore the Rambam says, we would do Birchas Kohanim, we would technically do Birchas Kohanim, with such a fast day. So it comes out that there are certain minchos that they, meaning every day, regular day mincha, they won't do any Birchas Kohanim. That's clear. Every day mincha, we don't do Birchas Kohanim. Mincha of a tainis, it would depend. If there was ne'ilah, then they would not do Birchas Kohanim by mincha. But if there was no ne'ilah, he says, like Tisha B'Av and Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, so they would recite Birchas Kohanim. For us, it's not We're not saying anyway it's Brachas Kohanim. We have to see, but it's Svardim. If you go to the Svardim in America, the Svardim still do Brachas Kohanim every day. And obviously if you go to a shul on Shiva Subatamas, you'll see that they, by Mincha, it would come out, they would do Brachas Kohanim. Yes.
Give some basic definitions first about this. If there's a mitzvah from the Torah for the Kohanim to bench the people, like the title of the mitzvah says, is that mitzvah from the Torah in the base of Mikdash, and that's what we do, Durbana? That's one getter. And the other is from the Min HaTorah, is there a shear specified from the Torah? In other words, even, you know, whether it's in the Beis HaMikdash or even today, is it once a year that they're Yetzirah from the Torah?
Okay, very good. The Mincha Chinuch will discuss this. First thing, the Chinuch said that the mitzvah applies to all places and all times. The mitzvah Min HaTorah today, on Yontif, when there's Brachas Kohanim, they are fulfilling the mitzvah Min HaTorah.
Okay, they are actually.
Yeah, right. Now the big question is on us Ashkenazim. On the Svardim, they do Brachas Kohanim every day. The mitzvah Min HaTorah was, the Chinuch says, was every day there is a commandment to do Brachas Kohanim.
Oh, I see.
Every day of the year, 365 days a year. And that's what the Svardim do. The question is, how often do they have to do the mitzvah? So the question is, the Chinuch says, Shachris, Musaf. So the Minchas Chinuch said that that's not a biblical obligation. The biblical obligation is once a day. He's going to compare it to tefillin. Tefillin, you're obligated to put on tefillin once a day. Every time you go ahead and you put on tefillin, there's something called a mitzvah chiyuvis, and there's something you could be chayiv to put it on once a day. But every time you put on the tefillin, you get another mitzvah. So therefore, that's how he explains also over here the Minchas Chinuch regarding the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. The mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is once a day. That means, and the mitzvah only kicks in when you call the Kohen, Emor Lehem. If you don't say anything to the Kohen, the mitzvah doesn't kick in. So therefore, that explains what's going on here in America. And here in America, we don't do Birchas Kohanim, the Ashkenazim. Is it a violation of the positive commandment?
No, because we don't call
them. The only time there's the obligation for the Kohen to give the blessing is if you call him up. If you don't call him, if you never call him, he doesn't have obligation to come up because the pasuk says Emor Lehem. Right?
Well, then, right.
Yes.
That sounds like that there's a mitzvah on the mazmin. Not on the Kohanim.
Okay, so that's a question in the Achronim. Who is the mitzvah on by Birchas Kohanim? Is the mitzvah on the Kohen to give the bracha, the blessing? There's no mitzvah on the Yisrael at all to ask for the blessing. It's just that when you ask the Kohen has an obligation. Do we have that triggers the mitzvah? Or is the B'nai Yisrael, of the average Yisrael, do they have a chiyuv, do they have a mitzvah obligation to call upon the Kohanim to do the mitzvah?
What's it after we have full Kohanim?
That's a good question. If they're shul full Kohanim, we have to see what, there's a lot of discussion about that in the Gemara. But the question he wanted to say, nafkamina, would be the running ladies. What would be the nafkamina? So the Mincha Chinuch says like this.
He has a sign outside, no Yisrael, Amalim, or dogs.
He says, because he says, he brings the Sefer Charedim. Charedim says, just like it's on the Kohanim, there's a mitzvah say to give a bracha to the Jewish people, so too there's a mitzvah say on the Yisrael to receive a bracha. If we say the mitzvah on Yisrael to receive a bracha, so women would not be mechuyev in this mitzvah.
What does mechuyev mean?
Women would not be obligated in the mitzvah. Why? If you say, because there's a question is, could you do Brechas Kohanim, we don't perform the mitzvah at night. The Kohanim do not do Brechas Kohanim at night. Right? The question is, we have, the Gemara learns it out from there's a comparison to other service of a Kohen. When the Kohen serves in the Beis HaMikdash, when he does what we call Avodah, service bringing their karbanos, those were done by day.
And we
learn out also, therefore, that the blessing of the Kohanim also has to be done by day. So the question is that a real hekish? Is that a real limud? Meaning, and not just an asmachta, if it's a real limud, therefore, if it's a biblical limud, so therefore, if it's only by day, then women would be exempt. If the mitzvah of Bechas Kohanim would be only by day, and the mitzvah is to, as well, to ask the Kohanim to get a bracha to receive a blessing, women would be exempt from this asking the Kohanim for a blessing, because it's a time-bound mitzvah.
Is it related to the fact that the mitzvah of putting on tefillin is also by day?
So mitzvah of putting on tefillin is a machlokas in the Gemara, whether it's nighttime is a time of tefillin or not. We lahalacha hold that night is a time of tefillin. Technically, from a biblical level, there's an obligation to put on tefillin at night. Except rabbinically, the rabbi said we don't put on tefillin at night because we might fall asleep in the tefillin, might emit gases, not have proper respect for the tefillin. But the reason why women are exempt from tefillin is because tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah because of Shabbos. But Shabbos is not a time, no one puts on tefillin. There's an exemption from the mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos because Shabbos is its own oath, its own sign, and therefore there's no need to put on tefillin on Shabbos. Therefore, because tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah, that exempts ladies from the mitzvah of tefillin.
You're getting colder and colder. I heard it's 60 degrees in here. It's a thermostat.
But it's thermostat turns the boiler off, and then it stays off until it reaches its...
You think it's not on
at all? Well, the furnace, obviously the thermostat has turned the boiler off. And it doesn't go on again.
But we hope that internally we are turned on. We are on fire from the learning that we're learning. Right? But we should be hot from there. At least our neshama should be hot. I don't know if our physical body is hot from it. So these are some of the things that you ask Yitzhak, our Minchas Chinuch discusses. But on a rabbinic level, he says you're obligated to, the Kohanim are obligated to do Bras Kohanim by Shachis, Musaf. Whatever times the rabbis instituted the reciting of the Brechas Kohanim, the Kohanim have that rabbinic mitzvah. But technically, they can fulfill that mitzvah once a day. But every time they do it, if they do it twice a day, they get two mitzvahs.
I see.
Yes.
That's what's so hard to understand. For me, is that if it's... it seems like, since we don't say Birkas Kohanim every day, we're talking about
Duchen. It's a raising of the hands. You need to have 10 people there.
Is this what we're talking about, Duchen and not that?
We're talking about Birkas Kohanim, which is called Duchen, right? Birkas Kohanim, we have 10 people and they raise their hands.
But since we don't do this every day, it seems like that must be approved. That, I mean, if we talk about the Nachtamina between whether or not the mitzvah was for us or for them, then, I mean, isn't the obvious Nachtamina that if it was for us, then we would have to do it every day, and we would be doing it every day. But since we don't, it's not. Is that
sounds like a good Nachtamina. Hear what Yitzhak is saying? Yitzhak is saying, if the mitzvah is upon us to get to receive a bracha,
I mean, if it is, then it's like the tefillin, or it's like Kriyat Shema, and we have.
Then we should have to bring it upon ourselves.
Well, we would have to invite them every day. We'd be obligated. It's like we're obligated to say Kriyat Shema. I don't know if tefillin is an obligation every day or not.
Tefillin is an obligation every day, except Shabbos.
Mitzvah chiyuvos.
Everyone has to put on tefillin every day.
I see. So then we're over every day that we don't say. We're being in a bear every day. We aren't Muslim that we go on.
The question is, how did it occur that we stopped doing it every day? What was the reason?
Right, the reason was given is because outside of Israel, state of Israel, we're missing in simcha, missing in happiness. And the bracha, Birchas Kohanim, has to be done with happiness. It says ba'em olahem, it's spelled with a vav, it has to be ba'ava, with love. And people, being that they're outside of the land of Israel, or in Golos, with the difficulties. Therefore, because of that, we're missing in Simcha. Therefore, we do not recite Berachas Kohanim every day for the Ashkenazim. Yontif is a time of great Simcha. So therefore, we're doing on Yontif. We're in a happy state. Even though we might still be in Golis. That's the reason why we don't do it every day here outside of the land of Israel. And he also compares, Menachas Chinuch also compares this mitzvah to the mitzvah of tzitzis. That on a biblical level, if a person does not have a four-cornered garment, right, there's no obligation to put on tzitzis biblically. There's no obligation to put on tzitzis if you don't have a four-cornered garment. If you have a four-cornered garment, then you fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis.
Yes. Sorry. Please excuse me, but it seems like we just ran into a stereo with Rabbi Whitney. If Simcha is an Iku, and there's no Simcha outside of Eretz Israel.
I don't know if there's no Simcha. We're outside Eretz Israel, we have difficulties in the Golos, in the exile, Panos is very, sustenance, livelihood is very difficult. And so therefore the rabbis felt that the later rabbis, it's a much more recent thing that we don't say Berachas Kohanim. Mm-hmm. You know, the Aruch HaShulchan means a story that I think might have been the time of the Vilna Gaon or something, that they wanted, some Ashkenazic rabbis wanted to reinstitute, what?
Vilna Gaon himself.
They wanted to reinstitute Berachas Kohanim outside of the land of Israel, because it would seem to be not such a strong argument to exempt us from doing Berachas Kohanim every day. The Torah mandates it, and this idea of Simcha being in a level of Simcha, you know, to say that that's a strong enough reason that we shouldn't say do the mitzvah, which, how many mitzvahs do we find that you have to be in that level of simcha in order to perform the mitzvah? If you're not in that level of happiness, you can't do the mitzvah. Now this might be unique, because the Torah says, because it's the idea, when you give a blessing has to be given with a full heart. You have to be happy. If you're not happy, what kind of blessing is it going to be? So it would seem like, but to say that that's a strong enough reason to not to do the mitzvah, again, they're not violating the biblical command because they're not calling on the Kohanim. Right? Mm-hmm. We don't call the Kohanim up. But is that enough reason not to bring ourselves into the mitzvah? Because they're lacking a silver. So Chaim Yaakov said that the Vilna Gaon wanted to bring it back. The Aruch HaShulchan did not identify the rabbi. Godel Echad. And they saw that from Min HaShemayim that God prevented it from happening.
A certain shul
that they wanted instituted in, and they saw that there was, I think maybe two different times, two different occasions, they saw there was tragedy happened, a fire, something which is very very strange. That you could say that it's just honestly they saw it was the hand of God. That showing that they were right for not doing the Berachas Kohanim. Obviously, the rabbi, a couple hundred years ago. Obviously, you know, whichever rabbis felt it shouldn't be done, and it was accepted by the Ashkenazi community, so that's the way it's supposed to be.
I was in Jerusalem this summer where they did it every day.
But in Jerusalem, that's Jerusalem.
It makes a very, I don't know, it's like different, you know, it's like it makes an impression on you.
Right, right. Oh.
I'm sorry.
As far as, actually this is about your question, as far as Yitzchak's kasha, if it's partially or entirely a mitzvah on the kahal.
If it's on both. Wait, the question is, okay, Yitzchak brought out a good point. If it's a mitzvah on both, then it
becomes a rishos, because there's no mitzvah to do it unless they're called to do it. So if we don't call them, there's no mitzvah to do it.
Yeah, but Yitzchak is. If it's a mitzvah on us to receive a blessing from the Kohanim,
then
we should have to call them. That was Yitzchak's point.
I meant just the opposite. In other words, if it's not a mitzvah on us,
it's a mitzvah on them,
and we're the one who triggers it. If we don't trigger it, we have a right not to trigger it, because it's not a mitzvah on us, then the mitzvah becomes a reshus.
It becomes a reshus if we never trigger it. What do you mean it becomes a reshus?
it becomes a rishus because...
But once we trigger it, once we call them, they're obligated.
But once we call them, we're obligated.
They're obligated.
If it's not a mitzvah on us, then we're not obligated to call them in the first place.
Right, right. Exactly. And that could explain why the Ashkenazim rabbis today feel that since we're not obligated to call them, the mitzvah is only that when they get called, they have to respond. If we don't call them, they don't have the mitzvah. The mitzvah's not here. It's like, you know what? You buy a house, you got to put on a mezuzah. You don't buy a house, you rent a house, you put on a mezuzah after 30, we have, you know, 30 days, 30, if, by 30 days, you should put on the mezuzah. You don't have a house, you live in the street. If someone lives in the street, there's no mezuzah. You call the kohen, there's a mitzvah. You don't call him, there's no mitzvah. You call the doctor comes. You don't call the doctor, doesn't come. That's all you want to call the doctor? Yes.
Rabbi Friedman, then it seems like in that case, then if we compare it to having a house, you know, having it's our choice to have a house. It seems like then in the base of Mikdash, it seems like in that case, then we could if then. Then Birkas Kohanim could be the tail all the time. That no one would be over anything. And if Birkas Kohanim was never saved, even in the times of basically, if you didn't decide not to call the Kohanim.
Yeah. If you decide not to wear a garment of four corners, so you don't have the mitzvah of tzitzis.
I see.
You didn't call them, you don't have the mitzvah, doesn't kick in.
So that's a score of people who say that it's a mitzvah on the Kohanim and not on us.
Right.
But are there that hold that it's on us?
I mean, there's a Sefer Haredim that brings down that there's a mitzvah asaya yourself to be blessed from the Kohanim. So the question is, how to understand that? We have to see how to understand. What does that mean? It's a mitzvah on the Jewish people to be blessed from the Kohanim. Does that mean that we have to trigger it? Or does that mean something else? So that really needs to be looked at. As you notice, when the Kohanim go up, how does Birchas Kohanim start? Let's say on Yom Tov. What do we say? Kohanim. That is our call to the Kohen. When the Chazan says, Kohanim,
so what if the Chazan himself is a Kohanim?
So then someone else, Yisrael, I think, calls out Kohanim.
Really?
Yeah. I think someone else calls Kohanim.
Even as Yisrael, if he has a chain call, right?
But there's a whole Shaila if a Kohen is the Shech. No. Is he allowed to do Berachas Kohanim?
The Shalach is that he is.
You're able to remember? Right, just to continue, right.
Say
Kohanim. In that case, Yisrael would say Kohanim.
Yeah, so
he's representing the Tzibur, but just like the Gabbai, or anybody, whoever would represent the Tzibur, everyone is agreeing that someone should call the Kohanim up. If you notice, there's a whole question if there's one Kohen, do you call Kohanim or not? A lot of times, I think many places, I think the halacha, they don't call anything. If there's one Kohen, you don't say Kohanim, what happens? The Kohen starts with the bracha. Why is that? Because it says, Emor Lahem. You say to them. So, it would seem that some will say that the mitzvah is only if there's two Kohanim, or the mitzvah is only when there's two Kohanim that you have to go ahead and the mitzvah would kick in. If there was technically, if there's one Kohen and you call him, some say there's no mitzvah.
To
Emor Lahem, right? Yeah.
Talking to the plural sense of Aaron.
So therefore, very good. That could be. I think some explain it that way. So the Midrash Hasidic himself says the Torah brings down. Some say that if there's two Kohanim, they transgress it if you call them. If you call the two Kohanim and they don't respond, they transgress the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. But if there's only one Kohen, and you call him, there's no mitzvah at all.
They don't say
Kohen. And you don't have to call him. And even if you call him, and if he doesn't respond, some say there's no, that he does not violate the biblical mitzvah. But the Torah holds not that way. The Torah holds, if you call one Kohen and he doesn't respond, he's violating the mitzvah. Even if there's one Kohen. Now, doesn't, not saying that you call him, but if you do would call him, he would violate the mitzvah.
Yeah, in Yerushalayim, we only usually had one Kohen, because it was minyan, you know.
Small minyan.
Minyan.
Did anyone call him? You don't remember if anyone called him Kohen.
Yeah, I think so. In fact, I think in the beginning they asked, do we have a Kohen here today to make sure.
Yeah, but the question is, there's a chazen, the one leading the prayers, does he call out Kohen?
Call out Kohen right before.
I know,
I'm
trying to remember.
If
there's only one Kohen that may or may not be a Doreisa, so then why do people always try getting one Kohen to see if it's not hard enough to get two?
Because probably it's very hard to find two Kohanim.
Say, but that's the whole difference between...
You're saying people try to get two Kohanim. But the question will be, let me ask you a different question. Even if you hold this note, the Kohen will not violate his commandment if there's only one Kohen, you call him. The question is this, would there still be a mitzvah fulfilled, mitzvah kiyumis? Let's say, if we would say that there's no obligation, if there's only one Kohen, according to that opinion that says if there's only one Kohen, you call that Kohen and he doesn't go off, he doesn't violate anything. What about if he goes and you call him and he does say something? Would that count as a mitzvah? Could we get the benefits? Or we say the same way, if you call him and he doesn't respond, he doesn't violate anything, so if he does respond, you don't gain anything.
You don't gain anything.
Okay, what would you say? This is the question, because Chaim Yaakov is bringing up this point. He's bringing up a point of why is it if you call, why do we only look for one Kohen, like in the Shtibos and Simchas Torah, or Yontef, we try to get a Kohen. Try to get two Kohanim, if we're saying that the mitzvah is with two Kohanim. So we have to see. It could be if there's two Kohanim, then if the two Kohanim don't respond, then they transgress their mitzvah. Because there was two, and if two Kohanim are called, they must respond. One Kohen maybe doesn't have to respond, according to that opinion. But even if the one Kohen doesn't need to respond, my question is, but if he does respond, is that a mitzvah on a biblical level?
No, because Birchas Kohanim with one Kohen is a Rabbanan.
That's the question. How do you identify Birchas Kohanim with one Kohen? Do you identify there's no obligation for the Kohen, but once he does it, there is a biblical mitzvah being performed? Or do we say that once, since there's no, if he doesn't do it, he doesn't violate, so even when he does it, he's not fulfilling a mitzvah in the Torah? That's the question we have, right? So I'm asking, what do you want to say?
If you don't decide it's not good, it's not a big deal, you still get a chance.
Maybe we could use that as tefillin. A guy put on tefillin once already in the morning. And now it's a question of putting on tefillin in the afternoon. And he decides he wants to put on tefillin in the afternoon again. Now, we don't do it because...
Anything that you're not violating anything by not doing it, but if you do get a mitzvah, so why can't you say?
I know a rabbi here in the neighborhood puts on tefillin for Mincha every day.
Besides Shacharis, besides the morning.
Mincha every day.
He puts on a Benin Thompson's family, probably. People put on a second pair of tefillin.
No, he puts on both pairs at Shacharis, but he also wears for Mincha.
Oh, really?
No, the rabbi at Anshe Mahmud.
But remind me,
I thought that's the Benet Hamster.
I don't know.
He's a special guy.
He said he's a holy Jew. He does, you know, he can do whatever he wants.
I'm sure.
As long as it's within the framework of
Torah. I want to be careful. I'm training for that specific mahalat. He has a messiah.
If you would want to do that, you ask your Rebbe and see what he says.
What is the Rebbe what is the mindset of putting on tefillin?
I mean, we're saying like this. We, technically, the mitzvah of tefillin, you can fulfill a mitzvah of tefillin. If you wear tefillin the whole day, every second you're wearing tefillin, you're getting a mitzvah. You're fulfilling the words of God. Every second you're wearing tzitzis on a four-cornered garment, you're fulfilling the word of God. God says on a four-cornered garment, wear tzitzis. Every second you have a mezuzah on your house, you're filling a mitzvah. Every second. Every second a person doesn't have a mezuzah on their house, he's transgressing. Because every second he's supposed to be having that mezuzah there. Correct? So, tefillin is interesting that you're not obligated to wear tefillin the whole day. The Torah doesn't mandate you to wear tefillin the whole day. The Torah mandates you to wear tefillin once a day. But if you decide to wear tefillin, but if you, in the olden days, they used to wear tefillin the whole day. They were able to keep their bodies clean. Maybe they didn't eat as many foods as we had. I don't know. But they were able to keep their bodies clean, and therefore they wore tefillin. Maybe their minds clean too, and they wore tefillin the whole day. Technically, they weren't obligated to wear the tefillin the whole day, but every moment they wore the tefillin, they brought themselves into a mitzvah. But if you don't wear tefillin the whole day, you wear it once a day, you fulfilled your mitzvah, you fulfilled your minimum. And now if a person decides to put a tefillin in the afternoon, also, we get another mitzvah. That's what we were saying. Even though he put a tefillin in the morning, he got a new mitzvah, put it on the... You know what, he'll make a new bracha in the afternoon. He had a bracha in the morning, and he was mafsik, he had a big hefsik, and then he put the tefillin in the afternoon, make a new bracha on the tefillin.
If the mitzvah is that we put our tefillin once a day, that's the way we fast. That's a mahala. And every moment that you wear tefillin is a mitzvah. Maybe you should do two things. Maybe you should stretch out the davening. Should we wear tefillin longer? And you should learn afterwards, after davening.
But the question is, when you brought up the point of learning, the question, the person said, no, can he keep his body clean? You're saying you're entering that situation when the more time you're spending on the tefillin.
When you say body clean, even if you don't have to go, your body can be considered unclean.
No, I'm saying if a person admits gases or other things, it might be difficult to keep the body so clean for a very long period of time. Maybe that's the limbus chus and all the people who daven so fast in the morning is because they're concerned for this problem. And therefore they want to make a fast minyan. They daven with such great kavana so fast. Because they're so careful in the kedushas tefillin, in the holiness of the tefillin. But I'm afraid to say I don't think that is the reason. I'm afraid to say. Yes.
I'd like to be in the aid. On Anshu Maimon, they do both things that Devin said. They're married in tefillah, and they learn that.
But do they learn with their tefillah on? Does everyone keep their tefillah on?
No, they keep their tefillah off.
Before davening, before learning. Why? Because also there's another thing. A person has to act with a certain level, higher level of kedusha with his tefillin. You know, we don't do certain things with our tefillin that we do without our tefillin. Therefore, that's also another reason that people might have difficulty, you're supposed to remember when you have your tefillin. You have your tefillin on, you shouldn't be masir das when your tefillin. You're supposed to have focus on your tefillin. And if you start, you might get a little, if you keep it on long, you might lose a little focus on your tefillin.
We're not living in the same times as our ancestors from once upon a time.
Right, but we have to figure out how we Mosai Yagiyu Maisai L'Maisai Avoisai. Person has to say Chayiv Odom Lola Mosai Yagiyu Maisai Avoisai. How is my actions going to reach the actions of my fathers? You see, the Minchas Chinuch, I see, addresses our point. He brings the Prichodosh. The Prichodosh brings the opinion of some Achronim that one Kohen will not recite the bracha Asher Kedushonu Mitzvotav V'Tzivonu B'Varach Hasamu Yisrael B'Ahava. It would seem to say that our Chakira might be totally in the Machlokas in the Achronim. If you say that one Kohen does not recite a bracha Asher Kedushonu Mitzvotav, then the question is, he doesn't recite the bracha, but what does he do? But he's doing Birchas Kohanim without a bracha. The question is, what's there's no kibbutz. He says Yivarecha without the introduction of the normal Asher Shalom Mitzvotav V'Tzivonu, unless you say the Chachamim did not. Maybe he. I didn't see the Prichodesh inside. The question is, he says the Kohen does not. One Kohen does not recite the bracha Asher Kedushonu. The question is, why not? If there's no mitzvah, so why does he do anything? If there is a mitzvah being performed, if he's fulfilling a mitzvah, let him recite a bracha. unless he holds that even if a mitzvah is being performed, but since there's no commandment of the mitzvah, the mitzvah does not, if technically, which is what? Okay, we have to see the pichadot inside. The Minchasina says, but the Minchasina takes that double standard that you were talking about. He says, even if they do not, they don't violate the mitzvah, but there's still a fulfillment of the mitzvah saseh. Just like tefillin, as long as you put it on, you'll get a mitzvah. So technically, you might not have to put it on in the afternoon. You put it on in the morning. If you put it on in the afternoon, will you recite a bracha? Yes. So the one kohen doesn't have to go ahead and do brachas kohanim, but he wants to say if he does do brachas kohanim, if he does do brachas kohanim, he will get the mitzvah. Now I remember I had a problem with this svara. I wanted to say maybe it's not a good comparison. I think we said, why shouldn't it be a good comparison to tefillin? Because tefillin, really, the original mitzvah of tefillin was given to do it the whole day. So if I put on the morning tefillin, you're right, I only have an obligation to put it on once a day. But the mitzvah of tefillin is given for the whole day. I'm only obligating you to put it on in the morning. But really, the mitzvah is upon you. The whole day.
You're saying it's comparable to one kohen, having one kohen?
So I want to say, but one kohen, if there's no mitzvah, if there's no obligation of the one kohen to do Birchas Kohanim, so maybe if the one kohen does the Birchas Kohanim, maybe there's no fulfillment of the mitzvah. By tefillin, the mitzvah is the whole day.
Right.
The Torah just says, I'm giving you a minimum shear. Really, the mitzvah is the whole day. But if you do it a little bit, you put on for a second, you put on for a minute, you fulfilled your mitzvah. But really the mitzvah is the whole day. It's not that the mitzvah is only a second. The mitzvah really is the whole day to put on tefillin. But there's a minimum shear that you can fulfill your mitzvah. Correct? That's what I would look at tefillin. There's a minimum shear. You can join in if you want. The minimum shear. But one kohen, if you hold it, if it's because of emulahem, if you hold it, you have to have two kohanim, there's no mitzvah at all one kohen. The minchas chinuch's comparison might not be something to think about.
Well, he's one of them who has a
tefillin. He wants to compare it to tefillin. He says the same way you can recite a bracha on tefillin in the afternoon, even though you're only obligated to put on in the morning, once a day, if you recite a bracha, you can still recite a bracha in the afternoon. So too he wants to say, by one kohen is a ladder.
But he's not talking about, if you put it on in the afternoon, you put it on already, you put it on twice, you put it on once in the morning, and then you put it on again in the afternoon. He's not talking about you putting it on in the morning. You're putting it on in the morning, that's a chol, that's a deraisa. The question is putting it on a second time.
So
he's comparing the second time. He's not looking at the first time at all.
Right, but he's looking at you did the first time already.
Right.
Now he's comparing the second time.
Right.
You look at the second time of tefillin in the afternoon like one kohen going up and doing a brachas kohanim. That's the question. And that seemingly is there's room to
is question. Kohen resuming brachas kohanim?
So he wants to say that some say, if you call the kohen, if that's the question, is one kohen obligated, if you call one kohen, is he obligated to be a kohen or not? That's the question. He wants to say, even if you hold
that... We don't call him.
But he does recite the bracha. And when he does, we hold, he does recite the bracha, even though we don't call him. Right? Now, there's a question that Minchas Chinuch brings down from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, a kohen, let's say the kohen wants to go to a shul where there's a minyan. And he said the kohen is not allowed to make himself tamei in order to do the performance of Birchas Kohanim. Why not? Because Birchas Kohanim is a mitzvah asay. And making a kohen becoming tamei, he's violating a low saseh and an asay. And an asay, a mitzvah asay, cannot push away a low saseh and an asay. And therefore the mitzvah of Berchas Kohanim does not push away the mitzvah of the kohen make himself tameh. If there was a scenario that a kohen would have to make himself tameh, make himself unclean, whatever the case would be, we have to figure out that case. Look at the Yerushalmi. The kohen will not go ahead and make himself.
He can make himself tameh for a close relative.
But he can't make himself tameh. There, the Torah set mandates him to make himself tameh. But here, when there's an asay going against a lo sasei vasei, so the positive commandment of bichas kohen does not overrule the lo sasei and asay. The Torah says a kohen cannot make himself tameh, which is a lo sasei, and the Torah says chushim to you that he has to be holy. So an asay could push away a lo sasei, but an asay can't push away a lo sasei and an asay.
Oh, I see.
Now, so he brings down from the Ravid says that in our days we're all tamei meis. There's always meisim. Under the building and buried all over. So therefore, the question is: there's a whole question. If someone is tamei meis. And if he'll make himself tamei, if he's tamei meis already, he's not really creating new tumah, and therefore some would want to say that the mitzvah of brichas kohanim would overpower, because he doesn't need to overpower the lo sasei and asei of tumah because he's already tamei. But I think others would say that even when a kohen is... that's what it sounds like. But others would disagree. Others say that even a kohen is tameh, every time the kohen makes himself tameh, he's violating a prohibition. Even though he's already tameh. He's not allowed... A kohen that's tameh is allowed to go and make himself tameh again? Even though he has the original tumah, he can't make himself tameh again. Yes.
Excuse me, but that's hard to add up because that seems hard to add up because if the person is tamei, then there doesn't seem to be much meaning to be making oneself tamei
okay,
again.
But
because there's no again here.
Okay, very good. But it could be yeah. that there's a commandment: don't do an act that brings tumah, even if you're not going to become tamei. But don't do that type of act.
Well, we know factually speaking, a kohen does not go to a basic forest unless it's for a close relative.
Even if he went already to one close relative, he's not going to go again to someone else, to a stranger.
Right.